listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast for Sunday evening, June 12th. Dr. Niall Bulkley preaches a message entitled, The Fall of Saul.
All right. Lead me, Lord, I will go. Amen. That's good. That was pretty. Now, if you girls would just tell your husbands that when you get married, Lord, I will follow. Okay. And you'll have it made. Amen. All right. That was sweet. All right. Saul, man that was head and shoulders above everybody else, a man that was a warrior, a man that was a soldier, a man that was a manly man, a blood and guts man, a warrior, okay, a fighter. As a matter of fact, most of Saul's kingdom was fighting the Philistines, Amalekites, different people, and it was the first king they had. They'd been under different men of God, different prophets, different seers. But Israel asked for a king. God didn't necessarily want to give a king. He wanted them not to go under a kingship, but they wanted to be like everybody else. And they said, when we go to battle, we want a king leading us. They had a man of God. Okay? And they'd been led by a man of God for many, many, many years. Many years. But they said, we want to be like everybody else. And that gets you in trouble. Now, this wasn't Saul wanting to be king. This was the people wanting a king. And they came to Samuel. Samuel went to God and he said, God, that's not what you want. He said, I know, but that's what the people want. Sometimes God will give you what you want and you don't really, when you get it, you don't like it. You don't like it. And so he said, you're not, he's going to use your daughters to work in the kitchen. He's going to use your sons for soldiers. He's going to tax your crops. Where do you think all that money got that came from that made Solomon rich? All the stuff, there was taxes. It was hard. Matter of fact, after Solomon reigned, when his son came on the throne, Rehoboam, they asked him, are you going to tax us as much as your dad did? And he went to the younger guys and they said, yeah, don't let up, man. They'll think you're a sissy. He went to the older guys and said, it might be better if you let up a little bit. He followed the younger guys and they said, back, split the kingdom. Saul was a soldier. Saul was a mighty man. Saul was a fighting man, and he was an obedient son. One day his father had some donkeys. The Bible said asses of Kish. He had some donkeys, and these donkeys took off. Okay, my dog got out the other day. One of these days, I told Brother Smith out there in Amarillo, one of these days I'd like to have a dog that would stay in the truck, you know, not jump out and drag by the rope, you know. I'd like to be able to, you know. It's a good way to exercise. It works off a lot of pounds, but it's not healthy for the dog. Okay? I would love to have a dog that stayed in the truck. I would love to have a dog that would stay in the yard. I leave my yard open, he's gone. So I was out there preaching for him. They bought me a little stuffed dog. Brother Buckley has a pet stuffed animal. Okay? Okay? And so, now you know the rest of the story. Okay? But Brother Smith out there said, okay, now you have a dog that will not leave you and stay right beside you. He won't jump out of the truck. He won't get out of the yard. Matter of fact, he's dusty. He hadn't been out of the closet. But the donkeys got out. I remember one time at youth camp, we had a little black horse named Sassy, and it took off. And it was gone like 2 weeks up roaming around the mountains. And finally, it wandered up somewhere to somebody's house. They got it. They called around. They called the youth camp. They said, are you missing a black Shetland? And we said, yes. Went up and got it. It just wandered off. That's what these donkeys did. Saul's dad told him, go find the donkeys. So he did. He obeyed. He wasn't a big shot. He wasn't a smart guy. He went. He was saying, look, I'm the owner's son. You have a ranch here, Dad. You have a farm here. You have a vineyard here. You know, I'm the owner's son. Why do you want me to go find the donkeys? Why can't you send somebody else? See, Saul started out humble. He said, I'll go look for the donkeys. You know, get me away from mom and sister. No. All right. He said, I'll go look. So he took a servant. They went and looked for the donkeys. They looked and looked and looked for about 2 weeks, couldn't find them. And finally they said, look, Dad's going to be upset. What do we do? And his servant said, hey, the man of God's not too far from here. Why don't we go ask him? Wow. He took advice from somebody else. He wasn't a big shot. He took advice from his servant. And his servant said, why don't we go see the man of God? So they went to find the man of God. And he said, but I don't want to go see the man of God. I don't have an offering for him. I don't have any gift. I don't have anything to bring him as a token of appreciation. And the servant said, well, I got some money. So he gave him some money. They went. They went to where Samuel was, and Samuel met them, and he didn't know who he was. And Saul said, can you tell me the way to the seer's house, the prophet's house? And he said, I am the seer, and I want to talk to you, but not right now. Had a couple men come in just a minute ago, 6:28. I'm already a little bit nervous about preaching tonight. And they go, oh, good to see you. I've seen the guy before. You're looking for a handout. You say, is that bad? No, not if you need it, not if you're working and you're trying. But the guy's been here before. And I said, sir, I've got 90 seconds to get in the pulpit, to get in there. If you'd like to come, I'll help you later. And he said, well, good, come back at 9. I said, if you'll sit through my sermon. Yeah. Well, no, I can't do that. Okay. All right. Anyway, Saul was out looking for these stinking donkeys. They wanted to do something for the preacher. He gave him some money from his servant. And the preacher said, look, I want you to do this. I want to give you some counsel. I want to give you some advice. God brought you here on purpose. The donkeys didn't get out, but nothing happens by accident. Nothing happens by accident. Nothing happens by accident. God brought this into Saul's life that the donkeys would get out, so he'd end up having to go see the man of God so the man of God could anoint him as king. Tell him what was going on. So he went to the prophet, and the prophet said, look, not today, but I'll let you see me tomorrow, and I'm going to keep you here tonight and tomorrow. So he said, come to my house tomorrow about noon, and I'll feed you. He went to the preacher's house. He set him right up there beside. I mean, the preacher had family, he had friends, he had sons. Samuel had sons. But he set Saul right beside him. And when he asked for the servings, they brought a big old whopper. They didn't just give him a hamburger. They didn't just give him a sandwich. They brought the whole brisket, folks. I mean, they laid the whole thing beside him and said, hey, eat what you want, that whole piece. And he said, well, you want me to carve it? He said, no, the whole thing's yours. Just know, he said, hey, man, it's God, put a nap. I'm going to be here a while. Amen. Glory to God. I like his preacher. Amen. Okay, a beef eater, and he fills the plate. I like that. You men need to come to that meeting, support your preacher. All right. And so he ate there with the preacher. The preacher said, I want to talk to you. He sent his servant on down the road, and he said, you are honored. And he told him, you're going to be the first king in Israel. You're going to be the first king. And he said, who, me? I'm a Benjamite. I'm of the smallest tribe and of the smallest family. Now, I'm not the smallest. I'm head and shoulder. But he said, you know, my sister still whoops on me, and you want me to be king? And he said, you're the one. You're the one. I'm going to anoint you as the king. There's going to be a certain day. Now, I don't want you to tell anybody right now, but I'm going to anoint you as king. So Saul went back humbly to his own house. Saul went back humbled to his own house. He couldn't believe that God would bestow that. He wasn't looking for this. He wasn't looking for a title. He wasn't looking for a position. He wasn't looking for anything like that. He just was looking for God to use him. He was being obedient to his present authority. That's all he was doing. He was holding up his dad's hands. He was serving his dad. You say, well, you know, he was the boss's son. He was the owner's son. Yeah, and the owner said, go find the donkeys. He was just doing what he knew to do. He had more talent than that. He had more ability than that. But his dad trusted him. He said, hey, would you go do this? If I send some people off, they'd take 3 weeks to find them and come back and couldn't find them. I trust you. Sometimes God's man or your authority gives you a job that you see menial, that you think is menial, that you think is beneath you, but they trust you to get it done. Well, they might not be able to trust somebody else. So he went on back home, and it wasn't too long before Saul showed up. Called everybody together. Samuel showed up. When Samuel showed up, Saul went and hid. Samuel came to town. Samuel knew why he was there, and Saul knew why he was there. But Saul hadn't told anybody. Maybe his mama. But he hadn't told everybody. Samuel came and said, where's Saul? They said, we don't know. Why you need Saul? Because I want to talk to him. I need to see him. He called a big rally. He called everybody together. They began to look for Saul. They couldn't find him. Then they finally found him. The Bible said he was hid among the stuff. He was on a wagon. You say, why'd they find him? Well, the man was so tall, his feet were sticking out. Okay, he thought he was hid. Okay, his feet were sticking out from underneath the blanket. Okay, you read it the way you want to, I'll read it the way I want to, okay? Okay, but he was so tall, probably his feet were sticking. They said, that's got to be Saul. That's got to be, you know, that's got to be Saul, okay? All right. So they found a man. They brought him in. And Samuel anointed him as first king. And you know what? Samuel and Saul had a mighty relationship. one who was placed in a position of rulership, not in authority. The man of God was still the authority. The man of God, God did not speak directly to Saul. God still spoke to Samuel and told Saul what to do. But the people wanted a ruler, an administrator, someone to go into battle for them. And God said, okay, we'll do that, but the preacher's still in charge. The ruler's not in charge. The man of God's in charge. And so, Saul began to get his directions from Samuel. This is where you go fight. This is who you go fight. This is what you do. This is who you kill. This is who you don't kill. This is when you're supposed to show up. And Saul rallied the people of Israel. Some pretty bloody battles. But he rallied the people of Israel together, and he defied the Philistines. And he defied many other tribes around him. As a matter of fact, there was one tribe of Israel that said, look, we didn't anoint you king. Who made you rule? You know, Sam, yeah, okay, whatever, you know. But, you know, we're not going to send our boys down there to fight in your battle and everything. Because when Saul became king, he rallied the people and said, hey, we got a job to do here. I've got something that the man of God told me to do. And he rallied the people around him. And there were several that wouldn't come. He said, if you don't come, when we come back, we're coming down there and cleaning the house. They said, we think we'll come. Saul was no sissy. He was no girly man. He was a man's man. He became king. He fought many enemies. He developed a friendship with David. We know about that. And David played many time for him on the harp. And David also became his commander-in-chief of his soldiers. After he killed Goliath, he appointed David as his commander, ruling over his armies. They were close enough that David and Jonathan became best friends, and David actually sat at the king's table. This was not just a music relationship with David and Saul. It was a family relationship. David came and went in the palace as he wished. Now, there was times when Saul did not feel well at night, and he was troubled, and he was worried, and he was frustrated, and he didn't have the Mercy Drop CD to put on, okay? He didn't have his girl CD, okay, because his batteries had gone down, okay? And so he would call, okay, he would call little Miss Giardi's cousin named David, and he'd come over with his harp, and he would play on the harp, and it would soothe. It was good, Christian, godly music. Having trouble falling asleep at night? What are you listening to? He said, I don't listen to that when I go to bed. No, but if you listen to it all day, it's in your head at night. Amen, Brother Bogley. So, David was not just a house guest. David was not just a musician. David started out that way, but David became Saul's commander-in-chief. David became Saul's son, favorite friend, and companion. He obeyed. Then we see one day, they were fixing to go into battle, and Saul wanted to lead in prayer, and he wanted God's blessings, and he wanted to do what was right, and they were waiting to go into battle, and he was anxious like any other man. Men are impatient. Men want to get it done, and they want to, and we got to hurry. And you know what? Samuel said, I'll be there. I'll be there. Just wait a few minutes. I'll be there. I'll get there. But you know what? Saul got to thinking, you know, I'm king. I'm here. I've seen the sacrifice offered many times. I can make this decision. I can step into this position. I'm qualified. I'm just as good as he is. The beginning of his downfall, he offered the sacrifice. He offered the sacrifice. That was the priest's job. That was the prophet's job. That was not Saul's job, and the preacher had told him to wait. He didn't commit adultery. He did not commit murder. He just disobeyed the preacher. He just took things into his own hands. He just began to make his own decisions. And Saul came and said, What are you doing offering a sacrifice? Can you imagine it being exactly the time the church starts? And the staff walk out and say, we're going to go ahead and start. Preacher's not here right now. We're going to go ahead and get started. I guess when he gets here, he'll get here. But if he doesn't, I'll just preach for him. You say, well, I don't think so. That's what Saul did. That's what Saul did. Now, don't read your Bible right now. Listen to me. You read your Bible at home. Well, check out my story. Read your Bible at home. Don't check out the fact. Every time Brother Bulkley tells a Bible story, everybody gets to go, is that really in there? Is that really? Well, part of it is and part of it ain't, okay? Okay? But you wait till you get home to figure out which part's which. Right now, you listen to me, okay? And don't be doing your Bible reading, okay? You say, well, I really want to see if that's in there. I'm going to check it out. You peek, mate. No, you listen to me. Every time I tell a Bible story, I got to tell people, don't be looking in there. Okay, just trust me. And so Saul offered to sacrifice instead of waiting for the man of God. He got too big for his britches, okay? And he offered, he stepped into a position of authority that did not belong to him. Did he have authority? Yes. Was he a ruler? Yes. Was he an ultimate authority? No. But he stepped into an area of ruling and of authority that he had no business in. He made a judgment that he had no business in. Then we see him. Samuel told him, God's going to take the kingdom away from you because of your disobedience. He's going to give it to another. God had promised that his sons could rule. But he said, now that you've taken this into your hand and you've stepped out of your area of authority, you've gotten too big for your britches, you're going to lose the kingdom. He said, okay, whatever, you know, my Jonathan doesn't get to reign, at least I'm going to have a good time while I'm here. He went further downhill. God told Samuel to tell Saul, go kill the Amalekites. They had not wiped them all out. And he said, I want you to kill man, woman, teenager, stab them twice, children, babies, okay, oxen, asses, fatling, skinny ones, anything. You say, Brother Bulkley, that is hard. No, 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 hold it. There were some wicked diseases that were spreading against. These were an ungodly people. You know, used to you saw people who were 20, 25 that were hardened. You know, or a 40-year-old man or a 50-year-old man. Then it went to 20s. Then it went to teenagers. Now, the other day I was driving to church, and I had a kid that was probably 9 to 11 years of age step out in front of me on the street. Used to, you know, if you weren't crossing a school zone or if you're just walking, you waited for the big vehicles to go by. Especially, you know, in a community, if a kid was there, he didn't just step out in front of an adult, but the kid stepped out in front of me and just looked at me like this. But for the grace of God. Obviously, he didn't know who he was stepping out in front of. There were houses, there was windows, there was curtains, not on the windows, it saved his life. Okay? I said, God, this boy needs a lesson in respect to his elders. No, I didn't kill him. Okay. God was trying to teach me patience, I guess. But see, we have children that are hardened. We had, there was 8-year-old Amalekites that would have slit one of your children's throat if they'd brought them home as servants. There was diseases. There was wickedness. There was those children had been involved in stuff that if they told your kids, it would ruin their lives. God is a holy and just God, and he has a reason. But he said, I want you to wipe out everything about them. I don't want my people to get rich off of people like that. He said, wipe them out. But you know what Saul did? He did not kill Agag. He did not kill Agag. He brought him back. And he did not kill all the sheep and the oxen. And he did not wipe out all the Amalekites. Because we see as soon as Saul died, David had some problems with the Amalekites, the ones that Saul did not completely wipe out. And he said, well, we've done everything you told us to do, and we wiped them all out. I just saved Agag to bring him back, you know, to show everybody. Didn't kill him. And then we see him going and trying to kill David. He became jealous of David. He began to follow David around. Instead of fighting the enemy soldiers, the one that he loved, the one that was a friend to him, the one that had gone and killed Goliath, the one that had been his son's friend, the one that had been his commander-in-chief, the one that had stayed up late at night and played music for him, he chased him out in the countryside trying to kill him. Then we see another time that he tried to kill his own son. Saul was angry. Saul was frustrated. Saul had lost God's power on his life. He was making poor decisions. And he made a decision one day, and he said, we're fighting an enemy today. We're fighting a battle today. I think they were fighting the Philistines. And he said, I don't want anybody touching any kind of food or eating anything. We hadn't got time for that. Well, the people were weary. The people were thirsty. The people were hungry. They said, okay, if that's what you want. He made a poor judgment. He was still the leader. Jonathan didn't hear it. Jonathan didn't know about it. Jonathan told his armor bearer, said, hey, let's go over here and see if we can whoop some Philistines. The Bible says they snuck over and found a stronghold of Philistines. And they were between two rocks where there was a narrow passage there. And they said, hey, you think we ought to whoop? He said, yeah. If they tell us to come up or they tell us to come down. But if you'll read the story, Jonathan and his armor bearer started whooping on them, killing them, hip and thigh, slaying a bunch of them. And they got so scared they took off running. When they took off running, the other Philistines thought that Saul and his whole army was against them. They thought they were coming because they heard, oh, they're running. So everybody else took off running. And the other Israelites were all sitting around waiting for Saul to get up enough umption. They were waiting for Saul to fight, but he was discouraged. He was frustrated. He was in a place of safety. He was not attacking. He was holding off. He was indecisive. But when they saw everybody running, they took off after him. And God gave a great victory that day. Because Jonathan took an initiative and did something. And then Saul found out that Jonathan had eaten something that day. He didn't hear his dad, but Jonathan had eaten some honey. And he didn't know his dad. And his dad said, I said, if anybody ate anything, they were going to die. That's my rule. Now I'm in charge. Bring him here. And the people said, hey, the victory today was because of Jonathan. He's the one that fought the Philistine. He's the one that got this going. He's the one that got this motivated. He wasn't even here for the morning meeting. He missed the staff meeting. He was out there fighting people. He didn't know. Doesn't matter. That's what it said. That hurts my authority. That's how unspiritual he'd become. He was willing to sacrifice his own son on his pride. One thing to kill David. He was going to take the kingship. But now he's trying to kill his own son. And the people rose up and said, you won't touch him. You won't touch him. And they wouldn't let him kill Jonathan. Then we see him going into battle later. After chasing David many times, we see him being wounded in battle. We see him before that time, before he went into the battle, Samuel was dead, and he actually went to a witch, a real witch, had a seance. There is demonism. There is witches. There is a power of darkness that we're not supposed to mess with. But he couldn't get a hold of Samuel because Samuel was dead. He had not replaced. Why replace the man of God in your life when you're not getting along with the one you got? Hello? So he went to a witch. And said, I want you to call Samuel back from the dead. And she said, I can't do that. You know that witchcraft's wrong. You know I can't do that. Saul will kill me. And he goes, I'm Saul. He had disguised himself. He called Samuel back. Samuel said, why do you trouble me? You didn't listen to me while I was alive. It's amazing how people, when a preacher dies, or they move to a different church, all of a sudden, oh, good man, good man. But the Samuel said, no, God's taking the kingdom. You're going to die. Well, we see that Saul was wounded in battle mortally. Mortally, he was wounded. He asked his armor bearer, follow me with the sword. Kill me. Stab me. Make it quick. Make it effective. Don't miss. And the guy said, I can't do that. You're the king. And he said, I would rather you do that then the Philistines, the Amalekites, get a hold of me and abuse me and hurt me and torture me for hours. I'm going to die. They're going to shame me. They are going to do things to me. I don't want to go through that. They are not going to let me live. I am going to die within a matter of hours, but I'm not going to go through what they're going to put me through. It's like in the old days in the West when the Indians attack, they tell the woman to save one bullet. You say, is that right? I'm not saying it's right. I'm saying that's what was done. Saul was about to die. His armor bearer wouldn't fall on him. He fell on his own sword, killed himself, committed suicide. And then when his armor bearer saw what had happened, he did likewise. That day, Saul and his three sons were all killed by the enemy soldiers. Saul went from a humble man, walking with the man of God, drawing near to the man of God, to drawing away from him. It affected his family. It affected his judgment. It affected his outcome. Several things I want to share with you tonight. Number one, he went from not wanting a position to trying to place himself in the man of God's position. To begin with, he wanted no position. He just wanted to be used. He just wanted to obey. He just wanted to follow his authority. He just wanted to do what was right. As a matter of fact, he ran from it. He ran from trying to have a... I don't want that response. I don't want to do that. I'm just a simple, bashful, humble man. I'm not looking for the kingship. But he went from that attitude to saying, I can offer the sacrifice. I'm as good as preacher. I don't need preacher. I don't need a pastor. Now you sit out there and buckle up. Brother Bulkley hadn't changed one whip. You aren't hearing anything from me that I had never said. I've said it over and over and over and over and over and over for over 26 years. Same message. Don't get mad at me. I haven't changed. Samuel warned Saul. But Saul turned, and instead of being a humble man, not seeking any position, he was seeking a position. He was trying to place himself in the position of the man of God, saying, well, I could do that, and I could make that decision, and I could go there, and I don't need his help, and I'm worthy, and I am wise enough, and I've got degree enough, and I've got position enough. I don't have to seek counsel on this. I don't have to wait on him. I can do it myself. Shame on you if you're a staff member. Shame on you if you hold a position. Shame on you if you teach a Sunday school class that you say you can make a decision around here in the place of the preacher. God didn't lead through the ruler. God led through the man of God. Nothing's changed. He started out saying, Samuel, what do you want me to do? Samuel, who do you want me to fight? Samuel, do this. To being impatient and say, hey, look, I'll step up here. I'll put on the priestly robes. I'll step in and offer the sacrifice. Now, people, you know I'm your king. But this is what I want to do today. Samuel's not here, the man of God. You know, he's getting older now, and he can't make all the right decisions. And he may be running a little bit late. And, you know, we've got to help him out here. And I'm just doing this because I love him, and I want to be a blessing to him. And so I'm going to go ahead and offer the sacrifice so that we can go on and get about our business that's important. Listen, there's nothing more important than what the preacher's got going. Your job's not more important than him. You can wait. Well, I didn't get my PO approved in time. I'll just go ahead and do it this way, and I'll explain it to him later. Well, hello. It's always easier to ask forgiveness than it is to get permission. Yeah, it's not Brother Palmer. Brother Palmer carries spare ones in his pocket. Have you got a PO filled out on that? I'll tell my mama. Get her. No, I'm just kidding. We don't want to get mom involved. Okay. All right. No, I'll tell you what. She's a blessing. She's a sweet lady. Amen. If you have your PO. I didn't get my approval slip back in time. Preacher didn't approve this. Makes me mad. Come talk to me about it. I'll explain it to you. But no, you've already mouthed off to your kids. You've already ripped your britches. You've already cut down the man of God. Well, he didn't get it done in time. He wasn't here. He didn't do it. Hey, I was waiting on him, and you know, I'd have followed him fine, but he didn't get it done. Yeah. God was giving you a test, wasn't he? But you're the man of the house, aren't you? Your wife comes home and says, I couldn't get you on the phone today, so I just went in and bought it. Oh, you'd rain up and be big shot, wouldn't you then? Yeah. Well, I didn't give you authority to do that, and you spent my money, and you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to be submissive. Oh, but you can go ahead and bypass an approval, bypass a PO. Get upset and do it your own way without permission. Adjust it so that it fits in under something else instead of that one. Yeah. He went from not wanting a position to trying to place himself in the man of God. I don't have to get permission for this. Nobody else does it in another church. I've been here a long time. I've held this position for a long time. I know what I'm doing. Yeah. You're on the same path as Saul. He went from not wanting a position to trying to place himself in the man of God's position. He became impatient. He offered to sacrifice. Number two, he went from listening to his servant's advice and taking his help with the money about finding the donkeys and going to the man of God for advice. You know, used to, your wife said, why don't we talk to the preacher about that? Used to, some staff member or some other person in the church said, hey, have you talked to the preacher about that? Yeah, I think I will. That's a good idea. But now when somebody says that, you bow up. I don't need to go talk to him about that. I got this under control. But used to, that's when the servant said, I'm talking about a servant. I'm not talking about his mom. I'm not talking about his daddy. I'm not talking about his older sister who he feared for his life for, okay? I'm talking about a servant. Said, hey, why don't you go see the man of God? He lives pretty close by here. Oh, okay. Well, now somebody says, did you ask the preacher? You think you ought to ask the preacher? If your wife says, hey, you reckon we could talk to the preacher about this, get some counsel? I don't need to talk to him about that. I know what to do. I'm not no puppy. I'm around here. I know what I'm doing. Amen. Wow. He went from following a servant's advice to go see the man of God. Okay. Making it without him. He went from listening to his servant's help and an offer to help with money to arguing over his son's life, over a foolish rule he'd made about the eating the honey. Didn't listen to anybody. Everybody in Israel there, every one of his soldiers, every one of his leaders, everyone that was out in battle that day said, Saul, you're making a mistake. Don't take Jonathan's life. I'm not listening to you. Bring him here. Right now. I'm the king. I mean, he got vehement. Would read the story. Y'all aren't going to tell me what to do. I'm the king. You bring my son here. I'm executing him right now. He ate honey today, and I told you not to eat. I'm in charge. Wouldn't listen to the whole group. And the valley said, you'll have to go through all of us to get him. We respect you, and you're our king. That's great. But you're not killing Jonathan. He's the one who gave us a victory today. He went from listening to a servant to standing foolishly for some decision he'd made against all of Israel. Boy, that's a big step, isn't it? Too big for your britches. Won't listen. Used to, somebody, your wife, a child, some teenager, somebody in the church could say, hey, why don't we ask the preacher about it? No, I got it. I got it under control. It's okay. I got it figured out. Now, what you're saying is not that you got it figured out, but that you don't want to ask the man of God for advice because he might tell you something you don't want to hear. He went from being humble, listening to his servant, just say, sure, I'll go to the man of God, to with defying and withstanding every soldier that he had to the point that he was going to kill his son over some stupid rule he made. Yeah. Well, I'm an authority here, and I'm the one that said this, and we're going to go through this. I don't care who it hair lips. I don't care who it bothers. I don't care. I want to do it because of your ego, because of your pride. Instead of saying, well, I might have made a mistake there. Let's look at it again. Or let's go talk to the preacher about it. I don't need to talk to the preacher about it. I've already made up my mind. I've already decided. He approved this once before, 3 years ago. And it's about the same, so I don't need to go to him again. Well. Hello. Number three. You don't get any better. Number four is for you. No, I'm just kidding. He went from being humble and giving God the glory to taking the credit for something he did not do. He went from being humble and giving God the glory to taking the credit for something he did not do. In 1 Samuel 13, verse 3 and 4, don't look there. It said that Jonathan went out and defeated a garrison of Philistines. And the word went out. The text message went out. The email went out. Okay. The couriers went out. The mail carrier, but they said Saul had defeated a garrison of Philistines. He did not give Jonathan credit. He took the credit for doing it. He didn't do it. He was jealous of his own son. He took a credit for a battle he did not win. He was jealous of David and the fight with Goliath. The song that the women were singing is that Saul has slain his thousand, and Saul was a slayer. Saul was a mighty man. Saul was a warrior. Saul was a manly man. Saul has slain his thousands, but the second verse was, and David has slain his 10,000s. Bothers you when somebody else gets credit. Bothers you when the preacher gives recognition to somebody else. Bothers you when somebody else gets noticed. You say, well, I've done that before. He didn't call my name. I've been there. I did that. I won that many souls. I gave that much. I did that 3 years ago. He didn't call my name. He was jealous of Jonathan. He was jealous of David. He felt like he wasn't getting enough credit. He felt like he wasn't getting enough recognition. It wasn't, we're here to help the man of God like it used to be. It's, I want my recognition. I want my praise. I want people to know what I'm doing. You're not here to build your ministry. People did not believe they belonged to Saul. They belonged to God. And Samuel was their representative. Saul was just an administrator. He was a government agent. Well, I'm not getting the recognition that I deserve. I'm not getting the credit I deserve. If it wasn't for me, this department wouldn't be what it is today. If it wasn't for me, the choir wouldn't be the way it is. If it wasn't for me, the youth revival wouldn't be the way it is. We know that, brother. We know. No, I'm just kidding. Man says, you know, Lord knows I don't deserve this woman. You're right. If it wasn't for me, the music department wouldn't be the way it is. If it wasn't for me, the junior department wouldn't be the way it was. If it wasn't for me, the children's department wouldn't be. If it wasn't for me, we wouldn't have these fancy tracks. You can be replaced. If it wasn't for me, the youth department wouldn't be this way. If it wasn't for me, the junior department. If it wasn't for me, man, I tell you what, I'm secretary around here. If it wasn't for me, every one of these staff members would fall flat on their face. Huh, if they only knew what I did. If we did, we would fall on our face, okay? No, it's when you develop that attitude. It's when you develop that spirit. Well, if it wasn't for me, I tell you what, I'm the best nursery director there's ever been here. If it wasn't for me, that nursery would fall straight apart. Brother Wells doesn't know how much I do on Sunday morning, all these people. They call in, they do this, they do that, they do this, they do that. I have to work so hard. I ask him for a meeting. He said, not right now, let's wait 2 weeks. Well, if he really knew what I did, he'd let me have that meeting. I had to hit you where it hurt, okay, about the meeting, okay. You're not here to build your ministry. You're here to hold up the hands of the man of God. I didn't build this academy. I didn't build this college. All I've done for 26 years is hold up the hands of a man of a God. For the last year, 3 months or so, June, 4, 5, you math workers work it out. Let me know at church, okay? You weren't listening anyway, okay? Brother Wesolowski came over here and preached to the Sunday morning crowd this morning. I preached to 5 adults and about 15 junior age and below kids. Well, I've been here 26 years. I was holding up my preacher's hands. Amen. That's what he asked me to do. I was blessed to be used. Amen. I want to be used. I didn't build the academy. Brother May built the academy. I didn't make the academy what it is to now. Brother Wells is the one that oversees the academy. I'm doing what he wants. And I ask him about things too. He said, Brother Bulkley, you're smart. You got this degree and you got that degree. You've been doing this. I want his input. I want his advice. I went to him the other day about a decision about the college. And I said, preacher, what about this, this, or this? And he said, I really feel like this. Man, that is smart. I wish I'd have thought of that. It just aggravates me, you know. I could have thought of that, but he's the man of God. The Holy Spirit leads through him. And I said, I like that. That'll work. That'll work. I've been trying to figure this out. We get too big for our britches. Boy, my class, if this class wouldn't be what it is, it wasn't for me. This department, this music, this nursery, the bus ministry, my bus route. I'll tell you what, if it wasn't for my bus route, we carried the weight today. You picked up all the big people. Okay? If you want a big day on the bus, you bring skinny people, okay? Write that down. Principle number 318 in the bus ministry. You want a big day on the bus, you bring the skinny people. You get four to the seat instead of one. Okay. How to build a bus route, okay? Okay. That's terrible. That's terrible. Cut that from the tape, okay? Oh, no. It's on the website? Oh, no. I hate that thing. I hate it. I hate it. He went from being humble, giving God the glory, to taking the credit for something he didn't do. You did not build your department. You did not build your Sunday school class. There was a foundation laid here by the man of God. There's a foundation being laid. There is direction being brought out. It's not yours. It belongs to the man of God. God is the one that the Lord, that your preacher is the one that God works through. You're an administrator. You're a worker. You're a holder up of hands. But you get the big head and you say, well, I'm not getting the credit I deserve. If it wasn't for me, this thing would crash. Yeah, right. I don't care who's sitting in this auditorium, including Brother Bulkley. I mean, put your finger in a glass of water, pull it out. The hole you leave is how you're going to leave it. Could be gone tomorrow and this place goes on. You're not God's gift. God called an anointed man. At one time you said, yeah, I'm for you. You're anointed. We believe you're God's choice. But you're having your doubts. Why? Because you're taking your eyes off the man of God and holding his hands up. I'm not getting enough recognition. I'm not getting enough praise. I'm not getting enough credit. He went from not wanting a position to try to place himself in the man of God's position. He went from listening to servants' help to arguing over his son's life and standing up, his son's life and standing up against all of Israel over a foolish, egotistical decision he made. He went from being humble and giving God the glory to taking the credit for something he did not do. You did not build this church. Well, if it wasn't for my adult class, if it wasn't for this, if it wasn't for that, if I didn't make that hospital bill, if I hadn't reminded preacher this. God gets somebody else to hold somebody's hands up. You ought to be just privileged to hold his hands up. Number next is number four if you're taking notes. You should be, but you're not. He went from being obedient to the man of God to being disobedient and letting praise and money cloud his judgment. I'll say it again. He went from being obedient to the man of God to being disobedient and letting praise and money cloud his judgment. I'll say it again. Maybe you didn't hear me. He went from being obedient to the man of God and holding his hands up and praising him and honoring him to being disobedient to making poor decisions and letting praise and money cloud his judgment. He said, man of God said, kill all the Amalekites. You having trouble picking me up, Brother Dan? Can you hear me? He said, kill all the Amalekites. A Now, you get mad if you want to, but I ain't changed a whit.
Right.
I'm not preaching anything I haven't preached before.
Amen.
I'm not the one that's changed.
Amen.
You sit out there with your feelings on your shoulders, you get all pouty and mad. I'm not the one that's changed.
Amen.
He went from, I'll say it again just in case you weren't listening. He went from being obedient to the man of God to being disobedient and letting praise and money cloud his judgment. He said, kill all the Amalekites. You thought I was saying for you. I had to go back and read it, okay? He went to kill all the Amalekites. We find out later after he died that David had to go and wipe some more of them out because he didn't do his job. But he came back and Samuel said, hey, they met. They're coming back into town. Like when Caesar walked back in, marched back into Rome. The people praised him. They threw laurels and they praised him and they clapped and said, wow, our king is back. He won the battle. He killed the Amalekites. And he came up to Samuel. He came up to Samuel with that fake smile on his face. Hi, preacher. Good to see you. God bless you. Such a pleasure to serve you. I'm doing whatever you ask. And Samuel said, what meaning? The bleating of the sheep, the lowing of the oxen. The braying of them donkeys. What's all that hee-haw going on in the background, you know? Oh. He said, what's that? What's that? Bah. What's that? Had a job on a radio show one time. Sound effect. No. He said, he said, what's all that? He said, oh, it's just, you know, the people wanted to save some good stuff for sacrifice. No, they didn't. They were saving that for breeding stock. They weren't saving that for sacrifice. They were saving it. Saul was going to put that in with his cattle and have a stronger breed of cattle, oxen, asses, goats, donkeys. They were bringing that for breeding stock. They weren't bringing that back to all sacrifice. Oh, Samuel, you're here. Oh, I was just fixing to put this in the offering. No, you weren't. No, you weren't. You're going to sneak at home and use it for breeding stock and try to upgrade your flock. And who's this fat boy here? Read your Bible. He said, that's Agag. He said, I thought you were supposed to kill him. Oh, I just wanted the people to get the enjoyment of seeing. No, you didn't. You wanted to brag. You want people, you want to make sure when you do something, everybody notices it. Used to is enough just for a preacher to text you and say, good job. Oh, but not anymore. Now you got to do it in front of everybody so everybody will take notice of it. Because preacher's not giving you enough praise. So you want to do it in front of everybody. Breaks my heart what I'm saying tonight. Breaks my heart. It's not the way it used to be. Used to a little text message or two or three text messages. Okay. You did a good job. God bless you. No, now you want to praise. Read the story of the Bible. It was customary to bring the king back and parade him through the street, throw rotten fruit at him, aggravate him, cause him grief and problems, make a public show of shame to him. There was one king in the Bible that had gone out to battle, and he was such a great king and such a great warrior that he had defeated over 70 nations or groups of people. 70. He took every one of the kings. He cut off their thumbs, both thumbs, so they could not fight with soldiers, with swords. He cut off their big toes so they could not fight and wrestle and stand and run. He crippled them from being warriors. He cut off both big toes and he cut off both thumbs. He put them underneath his table. 70 men who at one time were kings. And he would throw scraps to them for humor. Read your Bible. It's in there. I did not make that one up. Don't look in the cordons right now. It's in there. But he did that for his own glory. When somebody had come to visit, they said, what are all these people? Are you got pets? Those are the kings. Hey, look here. Bubba King, come here. You want a chicken bone? It's got a little chicken on it. He'd throw it underneath there, and the kings would fight over it. He got humor out of it. Saul thought, you know what? Samuel's not been so proud of me. He hasn't praised me yet. So I'll go somewhere else for my praise. Let me do something in front of the people. Let me make sure they notice. And he brought, I'm not making this up. So he brought Agag back. And he said, well, you know, the people asked me to do it, and I thought the people would want to see, and I thought it'd be a good field trip for the college students, and I, you know, the academy students, and I thought it'd be good for them to see. And God said to Samuel, not going to work. Don't believe that. Samuel said, I don't believe that. He said, give me your sword. He went over there, and he whacked. The Bible says it wasn't just a stabbing. It wasn't just a thwart, okay? He whacked him to death. Makes me think he was fat. Took more than one whack. Okay, that's where they invented those whackers. He went from being obedient to the man of God to being disobedient and letting money and praise. The money was the cattle and the sheep and the oxen. And the praise was, look at Agag, look what I've done. Samuel used to be proud of me, but now I'm going to get the people I lead to be proud of me. You know what, Brother Palmore? If you're a good choir director, the choir isn't always going to like you. But the preacher will say, you worked hard, that's good. Parents, if you're a good parent, your kid won't always like you. Youth worker, if you're a good youth worker, you say, well, they love me. If you're doing a good job, they won't always love you. But your preacher can say, hey, you did a good job. That's enough for me. That's enough for me. But when you're not getting it, you don't think you're getting enough, and you try to get it from those you're leading. Number next, he went from standing in awe in the presence of the man of God to questioning his decisions and judgment. At one time, Saul stood in awe of the man of God. But he went from that to openly questioning, openly in front of people, questioning his decisions, questioning his judgments. It wasn't about morals. It wasn't about doctrine. He just didn't agree with his decision. Samuel didn't become immoral. Samuel didn't get off on doctrine. It just Saul said, I don't like the way you're leading things, so I'm going to offer the sacrifice myself. You're not doing it the way my liking. You're not giving me enough praise and honor, so I'm going to get it myself. He went from standing in awe, where it says to begin with, then Saul drew near to Samuel. To Saul drew away from Samuel. He used to stand in awe of the preacher.
Right.
Used to, he could do no wrong. Used to, you text him night and day. Used to, you couldn't get enough of him. Used to, you saw him, wake up, don't go to sleep on me. Used to, you couldn't get enough of him. Seeing him, talking to him, telling him about his sermon. Lost some of that luster. Number next. He went from leading people toward the man of God to leading them to disobey God's man. He's supposed to be leading people to follow the man of God. You know what? He got down there. They went into the Amalekites' camp, to their city, their place. And he said, let's spare Agag. Let's keep a few good donkeys. Let's keep a few good bulls. Let's keep a few good sheep, rams. And you know what his soldiers said? Well, that's not what Samuel said. They heard what Samuel said. He led them to disobey. No doubt he reasoned with them in when they reminded him of what Samuel had said. No doubt he reasoned with them. I'd like to know what your family hears at home. Preacher preaches a sermon. I'd like to hear what your family hears at home. Well, you have to understand, preacher's right, but in our case, And what he means is for others, but for us. How do you get around what preacher says? How do you get around preacher's decisions? How do you get around preacher's judgment? How do you get around preacher's leadership? I'd like to hear what you say in your house. Because when those men said, Saul, Samuel told us to kill everybody. Not Agag, not him, not him. Let's keep that. Let's get. Well, why? I don't understand. Am I your king? Do I know what I'm doing? Have I known Samuel longer than you have? Do you not trust me? You need to listen to me, son. Do you want me to promote you? I know what I'm doing. Do you think I'm not a man of God too? Do you think I'm not a leader too? You don't think I heard him that? I know what he means. I'll explain it to him. And you explain away what preacher says from the pulpit. You explain away preacher's leadership. You explain away preacher's decisions. Because it's different for you and your family. You can walk outside the rule. You can walk outside the standard. You can walk outside the leadership. He went from leading people toward the man of God to leading the people away from God's man. When he did the thing with Agag, the sheep, the oxen, the asses, no doubt he reasoned with the men. When they reminded him, guess what they heard? No, it's different. You don't understand. I know what I'm doing. Now, preacher would understand if he knew our situation, and you're raising a child who will not obey. You're leading a wife who will not obey, and they will reason with you. And you will lose your ability to lead them, and you will lose their ability to obey because that's what you're doing to your leader. I'd like to hear what you tell your family. I'd like to hear your interpretation of the sermon. I'd like to hear your excuse of why you do it that way. Because your family heard the sermon. Your family saw the preacher leading. But you didn't follow. How'd you explain that to your family? Well, you have to understand, God leads me too, and I'm a man of God too, and I'm a leader too, and I've been leading my family for a long time. How do you explain it? How do you explain it? How do you explain it? These six things that God hates, yea, seven are an abomination to him. He that soweth discord among the brethren. That's family. That's church. That's members. That's people you talk to. These six things that God hates. He said, man, I tell you what, I wouldn't have anything to do with a homosexual. Gags me, I tell you what, makes me sick. It's an abomination to God. I'm not riding in the car with him. And God says, you make me sick just like that because you're spreading discord among the brethren. He went from being obedient to the man of God to being disobedient, letting praise and money cloud his judgment. He'd rather show off with Agag like that king that had 70 kings under him. He'd rather have that money. He started making decisions on money and praise. Study your Bible. He broke with Saul over Agag, money and praise. He went from standing in awe in the presence of the man of God to question his decisions and judgments. Wasn't about morals. Wasn't about doctrine. Just don't like his leadership. Just don't like his decisions. He went from leading people toward the man of God to leading them to disobey God's man. What do you say to your family to explain your decision? What do you say to your wife, your kids? What do you women say to your children? When Mrs. Wells says something and you say, well, I understand and she's right, but, and you explain it away. You say, Brother Buckley, it won't hurt me. Try getting your wife to go to the pastor for counsel. Try getting your children to go to the pastor for counsel. You've ripped your britches. They don't have a pastor. They don't have a man of God. You've torn him down too many times. You've critiqued him too many times. You've walked around his judgments too many times. Why would they need him? He doesn't make good judgments. You're smarter. You say it won't hurt me. Your kids and grandkids are going to pay the price for your pride, for your arrogance. You're not following the man of God. The man of God is not a position in the church of government, of leadership. We don't vote on things as far as, yes, carpet and yes, finances and stuff like, yes, we do that. But we're trying to follow our pastor. He's trying to lead. And I'm telling you, this pastor, when he has staff meetings, he'll call all the staff in, and he's as gracious and kind and listens. I mean, even to the point, Brother Bulkley is not, I mean, I'm a shy, unopinionated, quiet type person. Okay? You know? Sometimes I'll say something. I said, preacher, he said, we could do it that way. No. I was just thinking out loud. I mean, he's quick to, but not when it's a decision from God. Not when it's a decision from God. And you know what? You don't know when it is and when it isn't. But when you're in a staff meeting or when you're in a group or the preacher's trying to lead or make decisions about something, and he says, well, we could do that, but my preference is, but go ahead. But when he says, no, I don't think that's what I want to do. I don't think that's what I want to do. And you ask him again. And you ask him again. He says, well, I don't think. He's trying to tell you, I don't feel comfortable with that, and answer to God. Back off. God didn't call you to lead. God called you to follow. You say, Brother Buckley, it won't hurt me. Try to get your wife and kids to go to the pastor. You done burnt that bridge. I'm afraid your wife doesn't have a pastor. I'm afraid your kid doesn't have a pastor. I'm afraid your pastoring is only in name only. Because if your heart ain't there, then you don't have a pastor. If your heart ain't there, your wife's heart ain't there. If your heart ain't there, your kid's heart ain't there.
Right.
But you want somebody to preach the Bible to you. Not just a preacher, he's a pastor. Then after you have roast preacher, your kids and grandkids are going to pay the devil. They're going to pay the devil. Saul went from a humble man, a genteel man, an unassuming man, to a man of arrogance and pride and disobedient and sowing discord and making decisions based on money and praise. Listen to me. Don't go to sleep. The fall of Saul. Nice man. If you met Saul when he was looking for the donkeys, you'd have liked him. You'd have liked him. Nice guy. Good looking guy. Handsome guy. Head and shoulders. Muscular guy. He-Man type guy. Humble man. Did the man of God change? Samuel didn't change. Saul changed. Saul changed. Used to you were enamored with your pastor. Used to you stood in awe of your man of God. You've replaced him with somebody else. You got somebody else that's giving you counsel now. You make a phone call across town. You make a phone call out of town. Well, I just wondering what you thought about this. You go to somebody in the church instead of your preacher's wife or instead of your preacher. You better build that bridge back. You're going to need that bridge. You're going to need that pastor. You're going to need him for your family. One of the days you're going to weep and you're going to cry. And you say, I can't reach my wife. I can't reach my family. You tore that bridge down. You burnt that bridge to preacher. Every time you came home and you smoked him and you roasted him. There's going to come a day that your wife needs a pastor. Let me ask you something right now. Would your wife call the pastor and say, I need a pastor? As your children get older, would they stand in awe and say, Dad, Mom, I want to go see the preacher and ask him about this? Well, no, it's because I'm such a good leader and they come to me. Yeah, and that won't last long because it didn't last long with you and the preacher. You need a preacher. You need a man of God. You need somebody to rip your face. But you need a pastor. You can't have a pastor without a relationship. You can't have a relationship sowing discord. You can't have a relationship building your own ministry. You can't have a relationship sowing discord. You can't have a relationship going somewhere else for counsel. You can't have a relationship just showing up and hearing him preach. Kids, your family will pay the price. I ask you right now, how hard would it be to get your family member to go to a preacher to get counsel? Why don't they respect him? Saul committed suicide, but not before he did damage. He died with his three sons. The Philistines found him. They came and hacked his head off. They stripped his clothes and all his armors, took all his rings off, took his jewelry, took his whatever he had, took his armor. They cut his head off. They hung him naked on the side of a building for everybody to see. Quite a trip from a humble man hiding in a wagon to expose before everybody. Quite a trip. Quite a trip.
Thank you for listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church, you can visit us online at pbcmesquite.org. Or if you're ever in the Dallas, Texas area, we'd love to have you come visit our church.